The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Today is the 8th of June 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out our brand new product called the Winner's Circle. This is over 15 years of multitudes of things I've done here at the FBC Stone and Steel Yard. Everything here is in module form, meaning I speak for 12 modules. And the first module is called The Beginning. The second one is Getting Started. The third one is Mental Fortitude. The fourth one is Sandbag Domination. The fifth is Heavy Specialization and Shoulder Pressing and Bent Rows. The sixth is Passion for What You Love. Seven, Hands-On Training. Eight, Big Powerful Arms. Nine, High Shrugs and Straight Arm Pullover. 10, The Return of the Iron Boots. 11, Strong Stone Strength. And 12, Love, Passion, and My Power Rack. Now, if you order this product today, you'll get number 13, which is called Stewards of Strength / Gatekeepers. Okay? That's something you hear me talking about at the end of every show about the stewards of strength of what we are. And it harks back to physical culture, and we are going to have Bill Hinburn on here next week, and we start a series on physical culture from the year of 1902. But just on the third module, this is what you get. Learning what the true definition of honor stands for. Secondly, where have all the men gone? Thirdly, why you should test yourself constantly. Fourth, why strength is the foundation of your life. And last but not least, why not stand out, stand apart, and lead the world. Now, another big bonus, if you buy this product today, you're going to get to meet and talk to one of the Fantastic Four for 1 hour of free, okay? Number one, Martin Janzicks. Martin is a strength athlete, trainer, a renowned stone lifter, and a speaker who preserves the old world connections and traditions to physical culture. Secondly, you can talk to David Whitley, who's an all-time strongman, steelbender, trainer, author, and speaker, and the king of the bent press. Our good friend Douglas Graham, who is very good friends with the gentleman we're going to be bringing in here shortly. Douglas is an expert in kettlebells, maces, clubs, powerlifting, and he's a coach at Art of Functional Movement Academy. And last but not least, Dr. William Wong is a classical naturopath, a PhD, exercise physiologist, certified sports medicine trainer, speaker, and a World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member. And I want to tell you something. I haven't finished listening to this. He just sent me a revised edition of these two CDs. And it's called Fighting the Things Most Likely to Kill Us. I've gotten halfway through them, and it's unbelievable. And we're going to talk more about that. But get off the fence. Take right action right now. Jump on the winner's circle. Stomp out old age. And look at all the things you get with it. Now, this goes right into our next piece where we're asking for contributions now to the show. We are in a very tight situation right now with money as we put this product out and try to keep everything flowing because I've just about stabbed through $80,000 in my life savings. I'm not asking for any sympathy for anybody. But if you'd like to contribute to something that's going to be around for a long, long time, we would appreciate anything. With a $25 contribution, you'll get our first world-renowned winner circle product for free called The Beginning. Now, some of the highlights on The Beginning is obliterating obstacles, success manifested, overcoming roadblocks, and the power of optimism. That will take you right to PayPal, and all you do is fill out the information. No muss, no fuss. I made it as simple as possible. Now, if you give $50, same thing. You will get the beginning, and we already went over the highlights of it, but here's the second phase of it. $50 will get you half an hour free consultation with myself here. I will help you with anything, and I'm not going to hold you to 30 minutes. I mean, if we're almost through it, I'm not cutting you off at 30, believe me. So, if you want to build your current strength status, build yourself towards future goals, and improve upon yourself, come on in, contribute, and we'll just keep rolling from there. So, that's the big news right here. Now, today, as I said, we have a good friend on here, and like everybody, you're going to see a lot more of a lot of the regulars coming back in here. It's just we're really busy right now keeping this company viable, floating, and being able to start making some profit here. You're going to see a lot more names you remember and a lot of new ones too. But we got Pal Veduto on here today, and he is the CEO of Tengu Fitness AS. He's a head coach and co-founder of the Innovated System Art of Functional Movement. Obviously, we just talked about Douglas Graham. Circular Strength Training, CST, instructor, kettlebell level 2 instructor. And it's just boxing, instruction, karate, you name it, this gentleman's in it. And we haven't had him on, and I've been wanting to get him on. I reached out to him the other day because I think it's very important, because the last few times we spoke to this gentleman, he got a bicep tear. I've had one too. And it's going to be very interesting to see where he is. I mean, if you aren't friended him on Facebook, I would tell you to do that. I've been following, even though we haven't talked on a show, I've been watching him all the time. What's he up to? What's he up to? How's that arm looking, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to bring him in today, and we're going to update you on that. And we're going to talk about his new book. It's been out for a month. It's The Journey. We'll get into it. Journey of the Warrior. And I can't wait to get in this. Right. But go ahead. Welcome to the show, brother. Anything I missed, give it out, websites, et cetera, and we will get started, please.
It's really good to be here. Again, it was a break between us, was it? I mean, we haven't been talking about how things are a couple of months. And things were really good, actually. I was recovering from my bicep tear, as you mentioned before.
Yep.
And it went surprisingly well, actually. I didn't have any issues with the strength lately. So as you noticed on the videos as well.
Yep. Yep.
And it has been already 6 months, right?
Yep.
So I kind of took it for granted that after three and a half, four months, things will be way better than before. And I wasn't wrong, because it came up really good. I mean, it's I haven't lost any bicep.
Yep, yep.
It's still there. Is the size wise is pretty decent as well. It's a bit smaller, but I was more concerned about the stability of my whole shoulder grid and stuff because of that. But it's coming up and it's good. So I started the push-ups and pronation, supination is back as well. So it's really good. And anything I do, I did to actually repair it. All my club work helped a lot. And actually forced extensions as well. So just to stretch out the muscle. So it's, so I have a full length of arm as well. So full flex.
Yep. Well, let me ask you this. Obviously you've done some amazing things, but like any athlete, I'll just speak for myself here. A tear can be a very crushing blow to an individual, because especially when we've never experienced things like that. And as mentally prepared we always are, as mentally strong as we always are, and we keep building upon that, something like this can really mess with you pretty bad. Tell everybody out there, Powell, You know, and I know they can go back to the other shows, and I will post our past shows about this in the next 3 or 4 days when this show goes live. What do you feel is the biggest thing mentally you had to conquer? And we'll talk a little bit more physically what you did, because I know you went over a few things just a minute or two ago. What do you feel mentally you had to conquer the most with this injury?
I think not to, to wrap it up in a, like a colorful paper. It's
right.
It's to get like a serious dark spot on your ego, right?
Yeah.
Because it's ego. You don't feel that you actually strong enough to provide, and that's how I felt, because you challenge yourself every day,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you have to kind of find a middle way between to challenge yourself and be plain stupid about what you do,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you have to have a kind of realistic tests and realistic techniques you can deliver in a good form. And even though my form in this exercise was perfect, it happened. So
yeah, yeah.
So you know, I look at myself as a guy who actually working injury prevention techniques, and that's part of what I do, and it's still happening, and it's
sure.
still happening all around
the
world, because you know you cannot be sure that it's you know that you're safe anywhere.
Well, you know,
you hike. You know, you sprain the ankle or whatever. I mean, things happening, and I think the general physical preparedness, all the mobility work I did, just helped me to regain the strength and the flexibility in my arm as fast as it happened.
Yep.
And
no, go ahead. I mean, finish.
It's like you're having time in the trenches. You know.
Sure.
You
absolutely.
Do, yeah. Hmm. And then you actually recovering much, much faster. That's what it is.
Well, I think too, everything you do, you know, no one ever wants to get an injury, especially with a tear, but it's everything you're doing day in and day out, year after year, decade after decade, is always hopefully going to prepare you when something like that happens. Because as you said, the work that you had done prior to that, and then the work you were able to do once you were able to move implements, be able to do things with that arm without having any type of apprehension of stitches blowing out or re-tearing it. Because, you know, one thing I know with bicep tears, as I've had friends in the, you know, who do strongman and stuff, they've torn it and then re-torn it again. And that's something I'm very cognizant of more than ever now. But I agree with you totally. You can never not know that you're not going to get an injury, unless it's something that's blaring at you that you better stop right now. But things like that happen. Biceps are very susceptible, it seems, to everything nowadays, because especially I know with strongman, you know, that little muscle there supports an awful lot of big things that you're doing. So, you know, I, in my case, I'll tell you this. I believe the bicep now, especially with what I want to do, has to be worked directly. A lot of people still argue with me on that, but I know for a fact that what I'm doing bicep-wise now seems to have made them stronger than ever. And I am putting such loads on my body right now that I don't want any more BS, because I want to be able to go away and lift stones with Martin Janzik and Stevie Shanks and all those guys, you know, Charlie Oliphant and all these other people that have asked me I've never met. I don't want any more of this crap. So I am doing everything in my power to alleviate anything like this happening. And, you know, another thing, too, I'll tell you, Powell, is this. And I know your mindset thinks that way anyways, but I'll let you comment on all this. To be honest with you, I never think about it. Because what happened at first, I remember the first time when I curled, when I pulled, and nothing happened. But you know what went off in my head? Oh, my God, is it all right? All right, all right. Well, that happened for a few workouts, and I purged my mind of that totally. But it's a natural thing. We are human in some ways, I think. And it's like the questions do come to the surface. And this is another thing. I want to get into some of the mental aspects, too, like we just did. But tell me this. Is your approach now, has anything changed with you physically? Do you stay away from things, some things maybe you would have done prior to the injury, or have you just decided a long time ago, we're going to be very smart with what we do, but I don't feel I'm going to have to change up on anything? So comment on any of that, please.
Yeah, I mean, my approach to training, especially bicep, has changed a little bit because now I do volume work as well. So I do probably way lighter weights than before. And then I include bulavas and clubs to to actually stimulate the forearm, you know, and pronation, supination. So it's kind of a hybrid training for bicep. It's still bicep curl, but it's not because it's done with the club in offset positions. So it's you don't have to have so much weight to actually get the job done.
No, absolutely.
And that's one of the changes I did in a direct bicep training. But what you said about amount of work you guys do lifting stones, it's awesome because it's you guys stimulating a lot of anterior chain muscles and bicep is actually used really really a lot in those. Yep. Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of can presume that there is a lot of bicep turns in your kind of branch of fitness as well.
Yeah, and you know what it is too. And I didn't mean to cut you off. I still believe a lot of people still don't believe that the bicep needs to be work directly. I was one of those guys that worked it, but never to the point, because a lot of people are under the assumption the smaller muscles will go along for the ride with the bigger ones, which is true in some instances. But why do you want to create a potential not only major injury, but why do you want to have one area that is either not caught up to the other ones, you know, tricep, whatever, and take the risk of a potential tear, where a lot of this, I'm sure, could be alleviated with proper training. Most people, if you see everybody, you know, in the bodybuilding world, all they care about is pecs and biceps, and they have nothing else. But I'm talking about using the movement. I'll tell you what I do right now, which has worked marvelous for me. I'll have a curling bar with a much lighter weight on it, and I'll lift the heavier weight. Obviously, people say you're out of your mind because it has no it's pretty much a stationary bar, the Apollon axle. There's nothing that's going to spin or anything with it. But I've been going heavy enough with the 2-inch bar for a number of reasons, because it takes care of so many components from fingers right up to the top of your shoulder. That to me is a smart way to do it, and I'll tell you why, everyone. I can't see doing multiple things with a big thick bar all over the place, because eventually that could cause a problem. So what I do, I'll do a couple thick bar movements. One will be obviously bicep curls. The other one will be some type of pull with it, all right? And then obviously the lighter curling bar, where it's got a lot of good snap, and I can really pump blood back and forth. So I'm going back and forth between thick and curling bar. That's number one. Now, the heavy curls are for twofold. If you read about a lot of the old farmers and the way they would throw hay, and they didn't have these elevators to go up and down and this, that, and the other thing, a lot of these men had upper backs on them that were absolutely insane. And if you know how to do a proper cheat curl and curls, it will work the upper back pretty hard. And I also add into that, which is very related to this whole thing, is I do a thing I had built by a buddy of mine who welds, where I took a big, thick piece of steel, like a handle, and had it welded right into a big, thick plate. It's probably as thick as a sewer cover. And what you do, you simulate a shovel lift or if you're throwing up hay bales. Now, what all this does is, and I can load plates on this thing. This thing's 5 feet tall. I could put 5 feet of plates on as long as I get my hands on it to do it, which is devastating. And what all this stuff does is not only work those arms in a different way, but it works that upper back, that whole back, like you would not believe. And that's one of the big things that I'm stressing very hard on myself right now, not only to do different forms of indirect bicep work, but to build, as I call them right now, two big, huge Roman columns, or you could call them pythons or boa constrictors, from the top of my neck right down to the bottom of my ass crack. So take it away. Comment on anything on that.
No, I understand that you're spitting out a lot of good stuff here. Obviously, upper back strength is really, really important. What I've changed a little bit lately, it's to maybe focus less on the front side of the body, on the anterior chain muscles, and just try to stimulate the muscles which are actually you know propelling you forward.
Yeah.
All the posterior chain muscles, like calves and hamstrings and glutes and back and tricep.
Yep.
As well, which is the pushing muscles, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of focus on that in long period now, but you know I rethink things after the surgery as well. So maybe the surgery happened because of my overtraining or the lack of collagen in diet, because I was a vegan in 1 year.
Yep.
And I, you know, I'm the meat lover. So the meat works on my body. So I decided to go back to that. And I'm at least not taking any chances with the diet now and the collagen. So,
I agree.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, who doesn't love the steak? So, but that was just a common sense. You know, let's give body what it needs and not take any chances there. Because to be honest, I mean, I really look up to the guys which are actually doing the athletic work on the vegan diet, because you know the knowledge you have to possess is terrible. I mean, you have to know everything, any chemical reactions in your body. So it's pretty difficult. It was pretty difficult for me, considering my lifestyle as well, to on a vegan diet.
Let me ask you this quick, and we'll get back to it. What do you feel now that you're eating meat? I mean, I'm sure you can lay it right out. What is the difference just in your strength, if there is any, your mental fortitude, your recovery? Is there anything that sticks out, Powell, that now you've gone back to meat as opposed to more of a vegetable diet?
I mean, the changes in my body was actually pretty weird, because you know on a vegan diet I've noticed that my mood changed a little bit. You know, I got way calmer than usual.
Wow.
You know, I started reading about the testosterone effect on.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the main change I've noticed now. My mood changed. I'm much more brighter in my thoughts as well. But that's, you know, it doesn't mean that it's going to work for you or for anybody else. It worked for me like that. So so I assume that, you know, my fat percent as well, way better now than the vegan diet. Actually, I got way leaner. And now I'm doing actually, kind of ketosis diet together with the intermittent fasting. So I just eat twice a day, really, like 3 o'clock and like now, actually, right before the podcast. And then when I'm coming back from work, and I'm eating usually mostly fats, really.
Yeah.
Mostly fats and animal fats. So and it worked for me pretty well. I'm on it now in 2 months. And I got way leaner and actually stronger as well.
So it's
something that works for me right now, because, you know, you have to change it in the circles anyway. So I'm probably going to go back to the balanced diet in the future. But right now I'm IF and a high fat diet. So it works perfectly.
That's very interesting to hear, because you don't hear a lot of people talk about it that openly. It doesn't surprise me, number one, that what you're seeing here, it's just no surprise to me, because I know one girl in particular, a friend of mine, that went full vegan, and she was a long-distance runner, and she was pretty good. And what happened after a while, I hadn't seen her maybe for about 6 or 7 months, and I ran into her at a health food store. And I said to her, I was like, how's everything going? Well, I went on that diet, and it was good for a little while, and all of a sudden I started having feet problems. And then next thing you know, it was shin splints. And the next thing you know, it was starting to break down. And I said, so what did you do? Because I wasn't even going to say anything about the diet. She said, I switched back to meat, and I've got no problems now again. Now, people are going to argue up and down with me that that's not
we cannot say that
right,
the vegan
right.
style is wrong. So sorry right. to interrupt you.
That's all right.
I strongly believe that, you know, it can be people that really, really profit with the vegan diet, really, you know, flourish on the vegan diet.
I agree.
It's genetics.
It is. Really. Yep.
I mean, it works for you or not.
Yeah. Yeah. But right. you know, what was really interesting though about it was she was very, sworn to it. I mean, you know, she was not going to change, but you know what? what ended up happening was, it was like, if you want to compete or keep doing what you're doing, She had to make a decision what she wanted to do. And I think, you know, like you said, some people it works for, some it doesn't, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's different. But I still think the people, and I'm talking about myself in particular, for me, more of a fat diet has always worked for me. Now, I balance things too. I mean, you know, I eat greens and things like that, especially this time of year. We want to talk about testosterone production. I eat watermelon like I grow them in my backyard. Mm-hmm. This stuff is going to promote lots of nitrogen oxide in you, obviously. Circulation, you want to go. You know, you have to, females have to have it too. Men need testosterone. If you want to go out and do the things Powell does and I do, you got to have a little bit of girth between your legs, gentlemen. And if you don't, you might run into a few problems, and nobody wants – look, I know we live in a different age, and I'm just going to speak for the United States. Being weak, I believe now, is a very acceptable way. The world likes more of a docile man. Testosterone, in my opinion, you talk to Dr. William Wong, who's on here, is very frowned upon now. Well, I'm going to tell everybody out there right now, we need more testosterone. We need more little boys becoming men rather than little digit heads behind a television or a phone, okay? We all use them. Yes, we do. I need them for the business, but I know the difference, all right? And it goes with your diet. It goes with your thought. It goes with your training. It goes with your upbringing. But most of all, and these are things that I've been writing some articles about on Fiorella Barbell blog, but I'm coming out probably on my own. I'm going to be starting a series of talks about all of these things. And it's not going to be the typical shit that you hear out there. It's going to be very blunt, very bold, and at times it's probably going to be very language-oriented too. I'm not a big lover of throwing F-bombs and things like that, because I think a lot of that shows a sense of not a lot of mentality in you. But at times we have to do that. I know when we train here, if you had a meter probably for the language, it'd explode what's going on here. But when men are in battle, when men are fighting for something they believe in and love, you're going to see passion. And it's not the trumped up bullshit Facebook passion we see by so many people. I'm talking, as we've been told, from people. Now, my driveway is 95 feet, brother. They have told me that they didn't want to get out of the car because it sounded like people were being executed in my backyard, literally. All right? So that's what it's about. But go ahead and take it. And I could get into so much shit, it'll blow your mind. But look it, you... go ahead.
It's so similar, you know. Yeah. People come from my classes, it's like grunting and roaring and all that. And it can be intimidating, especially when you see that actually girls do that too, right?
Sure. So, I love it.
It's what it is. What you're saying here is really important. I mean, let men be men, right?
Yep.
It's some of our nature. I'm not saying that, you know, we don't have to be balanced about it.
Right.
We have our, you know, our soft and feminine side as well.
Yep.
You know, there's not without reason, like Samurai Warriors was, you know, writing the haiku poems, right? Because you have to kind of, you know, blow off some steam in a different way than just lifting weights. And it's all good. And it's all good. And then we're coming a bit closer to what I wrote in my book right now. All the spheres, all the four spheres we have in our body has to, you know, have to be in balance. So your kind of a physical sphere, which is your fundament, has to be balanced with your emotional sphere, your mental sphere, and the spiritual one. And that's how I look at things, and that's what is reality for me, right?
Well, right. And you know, while we're at... Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you cannot be just focused on the physical development if your emotions are, you know, in pieces. And it all goes together, right?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
How I connect to the spiritual sphere is also through the movements, and that's really it's probably the topic for another podcast.
Yep.
Because you see that on a lot online, people actually express themselves with the movement, and it's partly what I do as well.
Well, that's what I want to. I mean, let's go into. I mean, we've still got some time. We're halfway through the show. But let's talk about the journey of the warrior poet. And let's link this all up with what we do physically, because before I give it back to you, I agree with you. Look, you and I both know when you have these injuries too, you've got to have a balance through your life. And we don't get into this a lot of times because we're very hell-bent. Hey, look, we like what we do. We want to get better and better with it. We want to go out and just tear the world up. I got it. I'm right there on board with you. Let's all jump on the train. But when something traumatic happens to you, whether it's in your training, it could be in your family, et cetera, if you don't have that development, if you've never had to deal that can become very, very scary to a lot of people. Now, let's talk about that, because we've both faced things like this. You know, I'm facing so many things with the business day in and day out. And you have to have other perspectives. You have to work on things really, really hard. One of the things right now I'm doing, I'm reconstructing my mind in a way that is going to be very interesting to see how everything turns out, because I'm seeing changes in me within 2 weeks that I've never had before in my life. So let's get into a little bit of the journey of the warrior poet. So take it away, my friend.
I actually started to write the book like 1 year ago. It takes it took me 8 months to get it done. And actually, I sat before in front of my computer and then just, you know, pour out like 20, 30 pages at once.
Yep.
That means that it's meant to happen. It's just flowing out of me, and I just let it, right? So and then of course there's some time for checking spelling and thanks to my my good friend Michelle. It's Douglas' wife, actually.
Yep.
I got it in like it was 10 months since I started writing. And what I was trying to do is, of course, write a little bit of what my journey was from start to now. And it's only 40 years, but I think it's you can see some patterns there. You can see that some patterns there. As what I'm trying to do as well in a book is to show that we actually constructed from four spheres, and our job and our task in the life is actually to have balance in these spheres.
Yep.
So it's a physical one which I call earth, and it's a mental one I call air, and it's emotional one I call water, and so on, right? So it's pretty interesting read, as I've heard. And Steve Cotter wrote the foreword for me, and my partner as well, Paul Gray.
Yep, Paul Gray.
So I actually have a couple of words which throw the light from different angles of how they experience it, and that's what it is. And the book is available on tengu.no, so www.tengu.no. And I'm sending worldwide, so it's no problem about it. And it's you can find the book on Amazon as well in the format.
Oh, that's awesome. Because Steve's on with us this afternoon.
Hello to
I will. Steve is a fantastic guy, and so is Paul Firepower. I mean, you talk about two last acts that are regulars on here. And,
you
want
to work with the best. That's how it is, right?
That's the only way to do it, my friend, because, as we keep growing and trimming down and growing again and trimming down, as our good friend Clint Darden says, that's just the way things are going to go with your business, because it's a constant change. It's a constant regrowth. You know, people change. People do different things. My main thing is here is to not only offer solutions and really get people to think, but the main thing is here is to take the messages we come out with and what they want to, take with them in their lives and keep spreading it through all different people. And I think when you can do that, we've got a very successful thing going here, which we do. The big success here is going to be two things. Number one is going to get picked by a major radio company, or, as I've said from the very beginning, we are going to be a live call-in radio station at one point here within the next few years. And that will be absolutely monstrous here, because you can imagine just you and I on a show, and we give people a half an hour to call in and ask us anything they want. That is going to broaden us bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, it will be a big success, actually.
That would be awesome. But I want to go into more of the warrior poet. What do you when you wrote this book? Obviously, you felt the need to get these messages out there. When we talk about all these different things with water and the mental thing and the physical and appreciation, all that, if there was one word right now or even a sentence that you see worldwide, what are people you think right now just thirsting and hungering for in their life? And maybe they don't know how to define it or verbally speak it, but you've dealt with more than enough people in your life and with the business and everything. What is it you see right now that there's such a need for out there, if you could say that?
If it's just one word, I should tell you, it's a balance.
Okay.
Balance.
Okay.
But if I will give the word a sentence, it would be, find your why.
Okay.
So find your purpose.
Yep.
Find why you do shit. You do, right? And that's as from there you already won.
Yeah.
Really. Because from there is all going right direction. But if you're throwing yourself around and you don't actually know why you do things, you're gonna fail.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a direction, right? And that's kind of why.
How did you go about finding IBE? Because that's what people are going to ask or send here, or when they buy your book. What were the questions? How did you find that why? Did somebody guide you? Did you just get it through innate intelligence? A little of both? What really spurred you on?
I went about feeling of something important for people. Okay. That's what drove me to what I'm doing now. Actually, if I can help people, the feeling that I'm actually helping.
Yeah.
And well, that's what it is, the care and the love you give to your people. And, you know, I'm not having like 1,000 customers. I have like 70 people I'm taking care about. And I know every single one of them.
Yep.
And I know what they need, and I see them every single day. It's my family.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
go ahead.
That's what it is. It's a feeling of, it's a profound feeling of, you know, loving your people. That drove me there. And
well, I think I'm a big believer in, you know, giving back, it's going to come back to you. Giving back, it's going to come back to you. A lot of people, look, I mean, we've all been there. I'm there big time, where dollars right now are going to be what keeps this whole company alive. But I've never stopped, no matter what's been going on here, financially, mentally, physically, I have never once turned anybody away or down. I won't do that. If you're serious and you want to come on board here and learn, I'm more than willing to work with you. But remember this, with everything you do, and I've learned this more and more, and this includes myself, responsibility is the key to everything. I mean, we can talk about action and writing things up. I'm a big believer. I'm carrying around index cards with inspiring quotes. I have my own quotes. I write them here on my business blog, everything. But I'll tell you right now, you've got to have, as Steve Jack would say, shoulder responsibility. Because if you're not going to be responsible for yourself and do the right things, you can't expect others to carry your responsibility on their back too. There's so many fundamentals, Powell, I believe, that we've lost here, that people don't think are important to teach, that these things, as they say, quote unquote, are old school. What the hell is old school? I have no idea. Yeah, all right. Old school could be, what, 50 years ago we did it? Well, just because it's 50 years old doesn't mean it's still not any good, okay? And you know something? I'm not into a lot of this other, to me, a lot of the stuff I hear now about anything physical, mental, all that, to me, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of about 15 radios going off in your ear with all different songs or verbiage, and you can't make out any of it, what the hell it is, all right? Because the confusion it presents, all right, is not going to do anything for you. And to me, this is me, and maybe I'm the guy that's off the beam here, but I don't mind zigging and zagging, because that's how life is, that's how training is, and you have to make different changes along the way. No problem with that.
Man, you have to make changes to adapt.
Exactly.
You have to do zigzagging. That's just how it is.
Yeah, but you also keep things in a simplistic way that you don't get overburdened with too many things that you just mentally can't grip onto. And the next thing you know, and you've seen it and I've seen it, you drop out, you make excuses. I've had people I've been around, I know they weren't injured real bad, but you know what? For them, it was something to hold on to and say, you know what? I can't do this anymore, or I need a break. And you and I both know very few people, when they do things like that, are ever going to come back. That is the way human nature maybe always was, but today it's more prevalent. Now, a guy like me, and I'm going to give it right to you, I'm very unaccepting of a lot of that stuff, because I've been around enough of it, and I know what excuses are, and I know real injuries usually. I'm not you, and you're not me, but let's face it, we get pretty wise after a while about things, and you become very good with people. You've been around enough of them where you kind of understand where they're coming from. I can, you know, people can say five words to me I've never met, and I can decide right then and there if I want to befriend them or not. Period. All right, go ahead, take it away.
I mean, people say that it's just business, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but yeah. It's so not.
It's not right.
For me, it's straight personal thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I really feel hurt when people leave the gym. That means that I fucked up, right?
So yeah, I don't think that. No.
Yeah, but you know, in yourself, you actually
in yourself. Yeah, your expectations.
Yourself, blame
yep.
yourself that you not
yep.
gave them enough.
Yep.
You know. What do you want? Good training, good conversation, warmth, you know, whatever. You just didn't do your job, or you was so swamped up with your work that you actually, you know, overseen
yep.
things.
Yep.
That's one thing which is really important. I take it really personally.
And
the second thing I want to comment on is the fact that what you said, the... about not doing things, you know.
Responsibility.
Full ass.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
Let's say.
Yep.
And it's a lot of disconnect. I see that, considering the balance as well. People
agree.
Focusing on the only on the physical, on the physical side of it, but actually, you know, they don't do the exercises, the mental exercises.
Nope.
Which, you know, strong body, weak mind, that's it, right?
Yep, yep.
And on the other side, there are people I know from my spiritual network that not taking care of their bodies at all. That means that you think that if you sit down half an hour a day and meditate over your perfect body, it's going to come.
Right.
It will never come because you haven't done the job.
Nope.
You haven't done the job. So... you have to do the job to make a difference,
yep.
right? If it's the spiritual one, if it's a mental one or emotional one or the physical one, especially physical one, you have to do your reps, right?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
have to do the work. So things is going to happen. If not, it's just a dream. You can dream on.
Yeah, dream on is right. And I'll tell you what, get nowhere because – you know, you and I both know we'll leave this world. We won't even know. We won't know anything that we supposedly was going to know. What we're doing here is we are preparing for whatever comes next after this life. And while you're here, though, I would try to get as intelligent about things. I'd be a doer. I'd be somebody that would like to work with people. I would offer help whenever needed or I could do it. Just things that are all parts of the formula that are you. You know, for me, I've got to train tonight. I've got some big, heavy things to move. I've got some big, heavy deadlifts. I'm working with some bands again now that I'm going to be really filming. I did a thing with bands the other day, which really you shouldn't even do it because it's like doing two dead stop squats at once, doing crisscrossing with
that's
stuff and coming dead out of the hole. And our good friend John McKean was like, "Are you out of your mind, man?" And I was like, "No." He said, "What a lift." And it was only – I had not done any dead stop squatting with bands probably in about 4 years.
Mm.
I nailed right out of the hole the second set. I hit 478 pounds like it was a toy. And I stood straight up with 70 pounds of bands right up on the top of me, plus, you know, coming out of the hole dead.
Mm.
And
yeah.
And he was like, "You got to do it." He goes, "We do that totally different. We step on them, throw them through the middle of our belts. So when you extend, you're all the way up like that." Now, I'm going to be doing some things different with the trap bar tonight, and it'll be real interesting. And I've got some massive sandbag work and a few other little trinkets here. You know, I'll work some thick bar for the forearms, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a small facet of everything. But what I've said all along is when we talk about all the different parts of us, you know, whether it's the mental, the spiritual, the physical, all those things we talk about all the time. This is my feeling. Each one of those, when they are practiced correctly, and you might not even know it at first when you're doing it, is they all bleed into one another. And when you think that all you need is one as opposed to the other two, that's when you get caught, man. That's when you get in a little bit of trouble. And sometimes you can't really see your way out for a while if you stick with it. And that's the next thing, and I'll go right to you. Stick-to-itiveness is one of the most important things you can ever do with anything you do. Now, look, I'm going to just give a quick example. You know, business has been the show. This is the third month the show has broken a record again. All right. We're starting to approach 30,000 downloads a month in a little over 2 years, which is unheard of. This is phenomenal. Especially I've been on my own most of it, doing it all myself, because the people I have literally employed through good other people turned out to be a dud, and they have fucked me for over $20,000, all right? That's a lot of money to take out of you, but that's my issue, all right? I've got to deal with. And once we become bigger and bigger and more solvent, I'm going to have shows, and by then I really would like to be live, where I am going to tell people things not to do, experiences that I've had, where hopefully will save you thousands of dollars. And I'm not kidding you when I say that. But what I'm saying here right now is you've got to be able to stick to it. It's the same way with the business. I'm always reformulating. I'm always writing new things down on my pad that I want to acquire and where I want to be. You keep doing this stuff and practicing it over and over, and this stuff is going to bubble right into your life, and you're going to be like, where did it come from? Well, this is all points of origin of what are you putting out there. You know, we've heard about Earl Nightingale, which is the classic book out there, but there's many, many things out there. And the bottom line is, with everything, what you think about most is going to come into your life. You know, if you like metaphysical stuff, that's where it all is. Go out and look at metaphysical books. Get all you can. Listen to all you can. Go out and read stuff when, you know, Powell's putting books out of The Journey of the Warrior Poet. Everything that you read is going to lend to you. How you take it, digest it, and live it is going to be up to you. And what did I say prior to this? You're going to have to shoulder some responsibility. Go ahead, my friend. Take it.
What you said about going one direction is really, really important, because you know you have to evolve. You have to change things. You can go zigzag, and you can. You can progress in what you do, but you have to first find your why and then your direction, right? Yep. Because, you know, sticking to one thing, but it's can lead you to, you know, wrong direction as well. I mean, you have to have a purpose in what you do.
Yep.
And then when you know that, well, stick into it and just do it, because you can find videos from my work like from 5 years ago, and I'm still doing it every day, right? I evolve, but, you know, I'm going one direction.
Exactly. Okay?
Yep. To actually achieve the holistic body, holistic human being. And that's what the book is about, really, about getting, being optimal, really, in all your... life spheres. That's what's supposed to be our task on that earth, right?
So. Absolutely. I'll tell you right now, though, all the connections we've got through our body, through everyone else, through the universe, the whole thing. I got to tell you this, though. I love all that stuff, but I want to ask you this, and I know. This is, well, I'll make it straight, short, and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love physical, all right? And I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brings everything in if you listen. Folks, when I say listen, I'm talking listen through from your head to your toes. It all comes in. You're getting feedback all the time. I've had things where I've had rushes through my body like I've never had in my life. And I know what's going on to a point. I am contacting parts of not only me, but universally around me that I couldn't do any other way. This is why I am so adamant about learning how to become physical, whether it's maces, weights, stones, sandbags, just modalities of things that touch your your being, your, I guess that'd be the best way to put it, your whole inner and outer being, because we know what we do inside is always going to reflect on what's going outside. And I've got to tell you this, and this all goes to the mentality of battle and things, who knows where we've been in other lives and things we've done. These things, when I'm out there doing it, at times it almost feels like I'm in another dimension, another world.
Come right in. It's, you know what you're actually describing now, your experiences is, it can be called for trance, because it's some kind of trance you are in, right?
Yep.
And trance, it can be, can be caused by repetitive thoughts, for instance, repetitive images, sounds, or intentional actions like reps, for instance, jumps or lifts or whatever. And I'm noticing, I'm looking at my people as well sometimes on the classes, which are like a long time set. They just, they're moving without, thinking about it. It just flows of them.
Yep.
And that's what trance is. You know, you go to the cinema, you're in trance as well, right?
Without a doubt. You know, pal, I feel sometimes like I've run head on right into the world. Literally. And I probably put a crack in the earth and a crack in my skull that I have no idea if it's there or not. And that, look at, we could get into this for another hour. I love talking about this stuff and the way things touch you. You know, when you're out there and people, I love to hear people say to me, and I'll make it quick because I know we're right at time. Mm-hmm. I love people saying to me, oh, well, what's the big deal about lifting weights and stones and sand and all that? And I say to them, you're never going to know until you truly do it and believe it. That's it. I can get you and I could give 10 billion answers why we do it. You, like as you said with the book, the why. All right,
the why.
But here's the deal: until you've got the guts, and it takes guts to put your ass out on the line like that and train, no matter what, no matter injury, pain, weather, whatever, headache. Fight with your girlfriend, your kids don't want nothing to do with, blah, 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 blah. You got to realize two things, and I'll hand it right over. Number one, and people are going to be like, what? Number one, you got to come first, take care of yourself. Number two, which is really number one and one, is your health, okay? If you can function in these two capacities, I believe you can have the best life you ever wanted, you can have the best love you've ever wanted, you can have the best children you've ever wanted, the best job, enterprise, entrepreneurship. You can be better than better. And until you decide to do it, and that's the big thing, decide the why, well, what can I tell you? The word I hate more than anything is called mediocrity. I'll send it to you. Anything you want to add to that, brother, give out your information. I will give mine, and we'll get set up for another show.
What is the most important thing people have to understand is you have to have a strong fundament to actually handle the things, life throw at you.
Yep.
And if you, neglect the physical sphere, you're just going to collapse like a house of cards. That's what's going to happen. So you have to build a strong foundation with your proper diets and proper exercise and strength training, right? Yep. And that's your robust, make you robust first physically, and then you take care about the rest, because if you don't have a physicality, it's going to collapse.
Yeah.
One way or another, right?
Yep. Yep.
To sum up, you guys can buy my book on www.tengu.no, as I said before, I ship worldwide. So just shoot me a message on Facebook, and we get it done. Okay. It was really, really good to be here. Now I have to run for my classes, actually.
Well, if you can hang one minute, we're going to sign off. Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. Take a peek at the winner's circle, also our contribution page. It's all there. It's very easy to get set up. There is no struggle whatsoever. Anything that you would like to contribute to the show would be very much appreciated. Also, too, go out to, it's called Apple now, and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. We appreciate it. We're also out on AHA, which is the AHA directory. Any new car now has the capacity to get podcasting into it. If there's a show you like Powell and I to do, Fiorella Barbell at nicap.r.com. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, 5 words of inspiration can change their life forever. As my mom said, when you're kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it like I am tonight, bend it, break it, twist it, smash it, curl it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The great Hoots of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red Domination, we're domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when he listens to our show, there is testosterone dripping out of the speakers. Frank Klein, my greatest business college professor, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor that we lost almost 3 years ago to cancer. He'd walk every patient in the door, say, keep smiling. Also, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we won't knock on your door. We will kick it in. As a great Les Brown says, you all have greatness. We'll take it 2 steps further. We got your back, and we believe in you. Also, too, I'll tell you right now, join the family, join the revolution. 30 years coming up, unstoppable. We are unstoppable. Powell, thanks for being on. A super
thanks
show.
For being here.
And we will talk to you soon.
I hope so.
We will. We will.
Yep.
So, for Powell Veduto, this is Eric Fiorello. Like I said, we'll have this show up within 5 days. We will get this gentleman back on next month, and we will talk to you soon, everyone. Have a great week, and do everything you can to be the greatest you can. Take care, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.